You're now listening to Sound Talent Media. Check out more shows at soundtalentmedia.com.
We'll be right back. Welcome to a new episode of the Unsolicited Opinion Metal Podcast. That was Angerst with the track Ostatni Act. And I'm sorry about my Polish, but I don't speak Polish. So this is from the latest album, Donny Cat. And with me, I have James from the San Antonio Sludge metal band, The Grasshopper Lies Heavy. How are you doing today, man?
I'm good, man. How are you?
I am good. It's warm. You know, I feel like I open every single interview with saying that it's warm in Puerto Rico, which I think it's, you know, already people know that. So I probably have to stop saying that.
Yeah, it's hot here too. Dying.
Yeah, but you know, winter is coming. Like that famous series said, you know, we have to go through fall yet. Anyway, we're not going to get into weather and stages here, but let's talk about The Grasshopper Lies Heavy. I want to talk a little bit about the origins of the band. What actually like motivated you and like got you like into, okay, I want to make music and I want to make music in the same concept and vein that Grasshopper has been done or has been doing for a while now.
Yeah. I mean, I've always just been like a huge music nerd, just like always like absorbing bands, even in like middle school. You know, I think Metallica was my like gateway band that got me into cooler things. Like, through Metallica, I, you know, discovered the Misfits and I discovered Slayer and all these bands. And I mean, I just like everything about the bands I would learn. I would like learn all the band members, like all the previous members and all that stuff, and just really nerd out about it. Then once I started playing guitar, I mean, I would learn entire albums. Like I would like press play on a Slayer album and play like rhythm guitar through like the whole record, you know.
Nice.
It's just like an extension of being like a heavy metal and music nerd. I just like learned how to play all the songs. So yeah, it was basically like me in my bedroom. I had a couple friends that were like playing music too, but they never like they would like sputter out and get disinterested. So I just kept doing it on my own, and I would, you know, record songs on my own. Eventually I could like afford a computer, so I would like program fake drums along with the guitar and stuff. And yeah, that's kind of how Grasshopper started. I mean, I put a demo out like that with me playing all the instruments and with like fake program drums. And then, yeah, I would put like a demo CDs like in the record shops here. San Antonio has a record store called Hogwild. I would put demo CDs in there. So I met people through that. And then I started gigging, you know, with like a full band. But yeah, it's been a long process. It just came from me being a nerd, really.
And when did you start it, like, with the whole concept of this particular project and whatever, you know, when you established to start doing stuff with Grasshopper?
Yeah, basically from the start, like 2005.
Okay.
It was real raw. I mean, the band has evolved a lot. But I mean, coming from like the like post-metal sludgy world, I mean, I guess it's still the same. A lot of it was instrumental, like we still are.
Right.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, I kind of started it as a kid and it's just kind of been my full-time band thing. You know, I've been in other bands too, but this has just been like the long-term project for me.
This is the baby. You're a baby.
I guess so. Yeah. I mean, I've considered like changing the name and doing other things, but like, I don't know. I've just been doing it for so long now. I mean, I started when I was like 19 or 20. So I don't know.
Now people can do the math on how old you are.
Oh my God. No. That's
and let's talk about the name. This is something that I've actually, I was coming up with the questions for this particular conversation. I have never asked you before, why is the band named The Grasshopper Lies Heavy?
Oh, well, so I was like really into like sci-fi literature in college. And there's a famous author named Philip K. Dick, pretty popular because he wrote the novel that Blade Runner was based on.
Okay.
And then, so after he died, like Hollywood just like used all his novels to make films. Like, you know, Minority Report, A Scanner Darkly. All of those are like Philip K. Dick books originally. But yeah, the name of the band comes from a novel called The Man in the High Castle. And inside that book is a book called The Grasshopper Lies Heavy. And it talks about like an alternate reality. Kind of like, you know, if you could like change points in time in history. Like mm-hmm. the whole point of that book was like if the Nazis have won World War II, but inside The Grasshopper Lies Heavy, it was like if America had won World War II, but shit was still different. So I don't know. I was like way into sci-fi back then, and the name is just kind of stuck. It doesn't really have any like deeper meaning or anything. I just thought it sounded cool. Yeah.
It definitely gets the attention from people. I've heard people like, The Grasshopper Lies Heavy. It's a very interesting name because it's not only a long name, but also has a very interesting insect in it as well. But you know,
well, and the words don't really make sense when you like read it. Like, what right. does that even fucking mean? So yeah, I kind of like that too.
Yeah, for sure.
I kind of hate the name now. It's been so long, but people keep telling me to keep it. So
yeah, I mean, at this point.
Yeah, I've already printed the t-shirts. I'm committed.
T-shirts, a few records and other stuff, so yeah,
you know. Yeah,
no, for sure. Cool. It's very interesting because again, I was coming up with the questions, I was like, I never actually had asked this question before, so cool. That's it's awesome. We my favorite band is Opeth, as you know, and many of the people that listen to this podcast have heard me saying countless times, Opeth is my favorite band. And actually, Opeth is like the City of Moons from a book that I don't even remember the name. So,
oh really?
You know,
I'm gonna have to look that up.
Yeah, I'll shoot you the name. I'm the worst fan right now because I don't even remember the name of the book. Yes.
He started at Blackwater Park, y'all.
No, actually, let's not even go there because I actually started on Watershed. But
no, I'm just kidding. I'm not gonna gatekeep your fandom.
Well, you know, I'm fairly young. Actually, their first record came out when I was, you know, I was 1 year old probably. So, you know, I cannot really say I was listening to fucking Orchid when I was one. So
you really missed out, bro.
True Opeth face. Anyway. Talking about favorite bands and true Opeth stuff and all that shit, let's talk influences. Yeah. And you incorporate a very interesting variety of sounds, you know, from sludge, doom, even like you said, post metal.
Yeah.
Can you talk about, you know, if you want to talk about specific bands, if you want to go that route about, you know, that actually influenced you? And I have a follow up about the Metallica thing. I have a follow up question about the Metallica thing after you answer. Okay. Which are the main influences, but yeah, talk about those.
So like, I mean, I love bands that are iconoclastic. They like, they say like, fuck you to genres, and they try their own thing, and you know, very experimental things. Some of my favorite bands are Boris and Old Man Gloom for those reasons. You know, Boris can shapeshift between albums. You know, one record will be a pop record, and then the next record is going to be like a stoner rock riff fest. And then the next one is going to be like the saddest funeral doom you've ever heard. And nobody like bats an eye at it because Boris are known as being like these kind of chameleons. And Old Man Gloom is in the same vein. Like they're this crushing hardcore-y sludge band. But at the same time, they'll have 8-minute tracks on the middle of the record that are just like ambient soundscapes. And then it'll like break into a 2-minute hardcore song. And then it'll go into like 8 more minutes of ambient soundscapes. And I love that shit because like the records are like a journey. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I could even go back all the way to like Pink Floyd. You know, when I was a little kid and my mom would play Pink Floyd in the house. You know, records like Metal by Pink Floyd. Like the side A was like all pop songs and you would flip metal. And side B is just one hour... Yeah, Echoes. And it's just like a 25-minute journey. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that listening experience is just so incredible to me. You know, I always tried to take inspiration from bands like that. You know what I mean? Because I want my records to be like an active listening experience, you know?
For sure.
Yeah.
And I think you actually nailed it as far as, you know, the last record, A Cult That Worships the Gods of Death, which we're going to talk about later, but
yeah,
I definitely think you nailed that part, and it's very interesting to know that, you know, you just talked about three different bands that probably have nothing to do with each other, and you know, they're somehow incorporated, and you can actually listen to them as you listen to the to your songs, you know.
Yeah, I just love the records that are just like they transport you somewhere, you know what I mean? A lot of rock and punk don't do that, but like when, you know, Old Man Gloom, they do the hardcore thing, but then they like, they just like, it's like a movie popping out of the frame, you know, they just like, it's just total iconoclasm, you know. I don't know how else to put it. Yeah.
No, makes sense. Now, going back to the Metallica thing, I'm very interested and curious. What is your favorite Metallica album?
Oh, man. So, okay. I'm not going to be one of those like fuck Metallica dudes, but also I like don't ever actively listen to Metallica. But when I was 13 and 14 years old, Metallica was my world, bro. So, like, I would have to say like Ride the Lightning or Puppets.
Okay.
I mean, maybe even Justice. Like, very earlier on when I was learning how to play guitar, I had the Justice tab book. So I learned several songs of Justice. I mean, the production sucks on it. I'd probably say for like if I was going to throw one on casually to listen to, it'd probably be Lightning.
Okay. All right. Interesting. I always found Ride the Lightning to be very melodic, but at the same time, very angry. You know, the same anger that they had in Kill 'Em All still rolled into Ride the Lightning. Then Puppets was like that perfect combination of what they wanted to do in Ride the Lightning. But, you know, you have, what, 6 songs that are just perfect, you know?
Well, Lightning was weird because, well, that came out when I was 1. So I was like, I was kind of age when, like, Load came out.
Okay.
So, like, I spent a lot of time trying to, like Load and Reload. I kind of want to like go back and like re-listen to them now as an adult and see how like good slash bad they are, you know.
I haven't
post-mortem.
I haven't heard Load or Reload as albums. I've never heard those albums.
That's funny. Yep.
Wow. Yeah, I remember when I started like listening to rock, you know, again, considering the fact that, you know, I'm in a tropical island, my parents don't listen to rock at all. Mm-hmm. So I grew up listening to salsa and like, you know, all the stuff that we listen down here. Mm-hmm. And when I started getting to rock, Metallica just released Saint Anger. And, you know, that was not a good gateway to like start getting into this band. And I had a friend who just, you know, just through like really bootleg CDs of like the first 4 records, I was like, okay, let me listen to Metallica. And that's when I got into it. But I never actually like got into like those hard rock albums. So I might just have to do that eventually. I'm pretty sure I'm not going to enjoy them because, you know, I do like the thrashy Metallica, but Black Album is a good album.
Have you heard shit like Lulu?
Yes.
Like you've hit rock bottom there. It can only get
better. I know. And this is very ironic. I'm saying, you know, I actually this is probably gonna like kill me right now, but I actually enjoy Saint Anger. It's not a bad album, I don't think.
That was after my time of paying attention to Metallica. So, you know, I honestly have never really heard Saint Anger except for like the radio single, something about self-destructing. I thought the snare sound was sick, so I don't know what everybody else is talking about.
I don't mind the drums at all. The only thing I mind about that album is that the songs are too long and that they don't have solos. If they had solos, they probably made, you know, it would justify how long they were. But, you know, there's some really interesting, you know, the lyrics are dumb, but, you know, it's not a bad album. Lulu is a bad album, but I don't really consider Saint Anger being a bad album. Good. Awesome. Nice. That was the Metallica section of the interview. you know, it's very interesting to know, like, you know, I actually did a few years ago. I did a Facebook post where I said that you could actually consider and like analyze someone's, you know, taste in music based on what is their favorite Metallica album.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, because they're kind of different. It's the same band, particularly if you know, if you go into the first few, but you know, once you go into like, you know, usually people that choose Injustice, for example, it's more like into like the prog side of things, right?
Totally. Yeah.
And someone that likes Ride the Lightning, they really like melodic stuff and like really, you know, passages that kind of go from like very beautiful stuff to like very heavy, fast, and raushy. So yeah, it's very interesting. I find that very interesting.
Also, like, I love like calling out like metal dudes that are all like fuck Metallica, because I know like all of them when they were fucking 14, they were all about that shit. So
they still listen to them.
Yeah,
get them a case of beer and fucking play Kill 'Em All.
Yeah,
they're gonna go crazy.
I mean, it's a gateway drug band, like Tool is. Sure. Like you find cooler bands through them, right? When I was a kid, you know, I found Slayer through Metallica, I found the Misfits, all these other bands that they covered. And then, you know, like my interest kept blossoming from there. I kept finding more bands. And like Tool's the same way, because Tool will have like bands like open up for them on tour. Like Melt Banana opened up for Tool on tour when I was a kid. That's crazy. Yeah. And Meshuggah. that was how I discovered Meshuggah when I was a kid.
Yeah. And Job actually went on tour with Tool as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Boom, there it is.
There you go. Awesome. Now, moving on from Metallica and all the influences, Grasshopper just released the album, which I mentioned earlier, a cult that worships a god of death, which definitely portrays all the different influences that we just talked about within the actual album, right? There's a specific journey, you know, there's a journey we're talking about. It's definitely there. Can you talk about the idea and what was the thought process to actually making this particular album?
Yeah, well, it's a collection of songs, and the songs are like, some of them were like brand new and some of them were a little older and had been reworked. But I find it good to do that though, because when you take fresh songs on tour and you play them for people and stuff, you kind of like learn the ins and outs of them and like what they work, what works and what doesn't. So I'm kind of glad we took the time to make this record and like write it the way it should have been, because I think it really came together in that way. But I really wanted it to have like a side A, side B flip kind of experience, you know, like what I was talking about with metal. And so yeah, the side A is just like, I tried to make it like just ripping sludgy hardcore metal, and then side B is a little more introspective. I mean, it's still heavy, but at the same time it's like I'm kind of like trying to like flex different muscles, you know what I mean, but with the same vibe,
right? Yeah, it's still the same band across
the album.
Yeah, awesome. Yeah, I definitely think you definitely nailed it, you know, talking about that journey and talking about that, having that consistency even though you're playing different stuff, quote unquote, different stuff around the album. It's still the same band. It's still the same sound. I find very interesting how much importance has the guitar feedback on a lot of tracks, which it definitely adds more into like the whole ambience of the songs. And I wanted to ask you about that. Like, how much do you relay, or like, you know, on purposely, you know, this part is just going to be feedback because fuck you.
That comes from just playing live. Like, we're super loud. I play through full stack, and we're like, our live experience is just like, it's unignorable. Like if you're in the room, you like can't ignore it, because we're just like so loud and in your face. I try my best to convey that to recordings. Yeah, and feedback is like my best friend. You know, I use it as like punctuations on some songs with like stop start rhythms.
Yeah.
Like when I stop, the feedback squeals, you know, I kind of use that as part of like, you know, the rhythm. Right. But,
right.
And then sometimes I try to use it in like melodic ways too. Like on the song Bullet Curtain, at the end of the song, it's kind of like a solo guitar playing clean, but the whole time there's like a guitar feedback. But it's like all like in tune, you know, I try to do a lot of that kind of stuff too.
Awesome. And definitely adds to the whole layering of the song, right? It makes everything a little bit more interesting towards you know, you sitting down and actually listen to every single guitar layer that you have in the song. It makes things even more interesting for sure. And you've had quite a reception for this album. You've been covered by very interesting publications, and you've actually had like people from bands that you like following you and listening to the stuff that you're doing. Talk to me a little bit about that.
Well, I mean, the positive reception has been amazing, especially from Europe. I mean, we got a review in Metal Hammer UK, which is huge for me because Metal Hammer is such a institution, right? So,
right.
But yeah, we've got a lot of great press from France, UK. So yeah, it's awesome. The US support has been a little more indie, I would say. But but yeah, at the same time, we have people like Thor Harris from Swans and the band Naja, you know, hitting us up on Twitter. And I love seeing that because I, you know, I jump in their DMs and start a conversation. And I love to see that there's like some mutual respect and admiration there. You know what I mean? So the band Pig Destroyer have been like pretty big supporters of us. Blake from Pig Destroyer has been a fan of us for several years. He comes to our shows in Baltimore and stuff like that. So
it's awesome.
Yeah, I mean, I love creating relationships, and hopefully some collaborations will come out of that soon too.
For sure. And obviously, you know, as things eventually start opening up and feeling safe about touring, all that, hopefully that turns out to towards some kind of tour support for you guys, for this bands as well.
Love it. I would love that. Hit me up, boys.
And talking about that, what's next for Grasshopper?
For touring? Yeah, so everything's so up in the air. But we have a new bass player. His name's Oscar. He's from Monterrey, Mexico. And he has been really pushing for us to do a Mexico tour, which I am, like, super excited about. So, you know, next year I would love to do a Mexico tour. And I've actually met some Canadian fans recently that want to help too. So maybe we can have like a transcontinental tour, do like some Mexico, USA, and Canadian dates on one tour. That would be pretty incredible.
That'd be awesome.
We've been wanting to do Europe forever, but with this coronavirus situation, I mean, who knows what's going to happen? I mean, I could all just be daydreaming about this. We'll see.
Well, hopefully by 2022. Hopefully, I think we've been saying that for like 50 years already. And, but yeah, hopefully by 2022, everything is eradicated. We can actually go back to our live shows and like the actual normal feeling of like, all right, let's book a tour and just play some music for other people.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm waiting for that vaccine 64 to come out. Nintendo 64, the next generation vaccine.
Yeah.
Let's go, boys. Let's go, science boys. Come on. Let's get it.
We'll see. And as far as new music, any news on that end?
Yeah, we've been tracking a lot. At the beginning of the pandemic, I bought a house. So I turned half the garage into a jam room, which luckily sounds great for drums. So we've been tracking a lot. We have a split that we've tracked and mastered, ready to go with. It's not announced yet, but it's with a really cool band.
Awesome.
I'm super excited about that. We've tracked a couple other songs for some collaborations. Can't announce those yet either. I'm sorry, dude. But yeah, there's a bunch of stuff in the pipeline that I'm like super excited about.
Perfect. So people can be aware about all these things, all these news, where they can find you in social media and where they can also listen to a cult that worships the god of death.
Yeah, I mean, we're on everything, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. I try to be active on all of them. I do post different shit on all of them, though, so just like add us on everything. And then, yeah, we're on Bandcamp. We've got a bunch of merch. We've got some cool t-shirts. If you don't like Greg Abbott, Texas governor, we've got a vinyl. We've got a couple bags of coffee left. We made a batch of coffee, and it's been a great seller, so we might do another batch soon. But yeah, we're all over the place.
Awesome. Perfect. Well, I actually encourage everyone who's listening to follow Grasshopper, particularly on Facebook, because it's probably one of the more fun Facebook pages in metal.
Yeah.
So just go there, and you know, also something I really appreciate about you and you know the whole band is that you also give space in your space for other bands as well. So, you know, that's very awesome.
Yeah. I'm huge on community, like homies support homies. Like that's the only way people will ever get anywhere. If they can't like throw away tens of thousands of dollars, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I always, you know, the whole 15 years of the band, I've always, you know, had a real DIY aesthetic. You know, I've booked my own tours. I've put out my own records a lot of the times. And yeah, people got to help each other. And it's, I mean, you make fast friends when you're on tour. And it's interesting because, you know, you'll meet somebody only and spend half a day with them, but they'll be friends for a decade.
Yeah.
Those are really interesting and fun relationships to have. And I love all my musician friends across the country and world, you know? So yeah, I love, you know, bands I've played with on tour all over the world. You know, I love posting their shit, like Japanese bands, like you will never hear this band, but I'll post them. You know what I mean?
So, yeah.
Yeah.
For sure. That's awesome. It's definitely a great way to approach things. And to be honest, in my case, I can say that was one of the motivations that, but like the one of the things that got me into doing the podcast is just because, you know, I just wanted to give another platform for my friends to be able to promote their music. So
a lot of talented homies out there.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, James, thank you so much for your time. It's always a pleasure talking to you. Hopefully, you know, I told you this many times, but you know, you have a home here in Puerto Rico. Hopefully after this whole thing is over, we can have you and have the whole band playing down here and make some eardrums explode as you're like playing your feedback to us. So no, but seriously, thank you likewise. So much for your time. Everyone, I'm going to leave the description in the description of the episode. I'm going to leave the links where you can follow Grasshopper and listen to their stuff. And this next song is part of the album, A Cult That Worships a God of Death. This is Charging Bull. We'll be right back.
That was The Grasshopper Lies Heavy with the track Charging Bull from the album A Call to Worship the God of Death. Visit the links on the episode notes so you can stay up to date with the band. Now, this is Obsolete with the track Old Horizon. That was Old Horizon by the band Obsolete from the album Animate Isolate, which is my favorite thrash metal album of the year. Up next, you're listening to Waste the Death with the track Spat Out. heard spat out by Wasted Death from the Ugly as Hell EP. Now we have reached the end of this episode, but I don't want to leave without thanking all of you for listening to this episode. Remember to follow Unsolicited Opinion Metal Podcast on Facebook and Instagram. Make sure to listen and share all the other episodes as well with all of your friends. Your support always means a lot. Here's the band Empty Throne with the track And All Shall Know His Name from the Glossolalia EP. Thank you for listening. Have a good one.
for Spencer's words.
Hey everyone, this is Tuck from Fit for a King and Off-Road Minivan. Every week I bring you fun interviews alongside your favorite metalcore entertainers with my new podcast, Get Tucked. Join me every Monday with bands like Counterparts, Crystal Lake, like Moths to Flames, and many more. We play unsigned and undiscovered bands, deep dive into each artist's history, and of course provide the greatest breakdowns in current metalcore. Tune in to Get Tucked every Monday, out now through Sound Talent Media.